Listen carefully to God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people. The praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Call us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. The great reformer Martin Luther said, quote, "I know of no teaching in all the Scriptures that so mightily diminishes our life as does this petition." Then Martin Luther goes on to say that we all live a life in which God's name and honor are constantly maligned. We have other gods, and we want to be masters of our own lives. And so we do. This morning, we continue a study which we began last Lord's Day on the Lord's Prayer, perhaps misnamed, but nevertheless a model prayer, because it teaches us how we ought to pray, and that praying is a matter of the attitude, the mind, the spirit when we come to God in prayer. We consider that first petition, which is, "Hallowed be Thy name." We consider this morning that this is our biggest prayer. Not only is it our biggest, it is the fullest that we can pray, and it is the hardest prayer that you have to pray. Consider, firstly, that it is our biggest prayer because it implies what prayer is not. Did you notice in the Lord's Prayer that it does not begin with us, our needs, with I, which is indicative of what prayer is not? There is an old saying that Marcia lived in a world surrounded on the north, east, south, and west by Marcia. When we come to God in prayer, our first thought actually is not of God, but of ourselves. But one of the first words that we say when we pray is, "Father, I." This is how the Lord's Prayer differs from prayers we would form for ourselves, because our natural tendency is first to want to honor, not God. not other people, but to honor and to promote ourselves. And so much of our praying is, in essence, God, promote me. If you answer this prayer, you will promote supposedly yourself, but it really, it's for me. You see, Jesus admitted the same in his attitude toward us when he said that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. What he is suggesting is not, as some have suggested, that you first must love yourself in order to love another. That is ludicrous. What Jesus is confessing, that you should love your neighbor as you already love yourself. Because each of us do. I said that it is our biggest prayer because it implies what prayer is not, but it also implies what prayer is, and that is true prayer is for God's name to be hallowed first. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That God's name would be hallowed. What is God's name? There are a variety of names that appear in the Old Testament for God. One name is El Shaddai, which name means God Almighty. There is also the name Elohim occurring in Genesis 1:1. God in the beginning, God created. The name Elohim is a plural name, plural form, and it implies the fullness of God's power, if not the Trinity itself. Then there is the name Adonai in the Old Testament, and it means Lord or Master. There's also the name, the personal name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah, and it simply means, as God told Moses at the burning bush, I am that I am. Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me to Pharaoh and to deliver 1 million Jews out of bondage? And God said, tell them the I am has sent you. God's name, I am. There are other names in the Bible. In the ancient times, in biblical times, parents gave names to their children which meant something. For example, in the New Testament, the name Lois means one who is agreeable. We get that impression of Lois, who in the New Testament was the grandmother of Pastor Timothy. There are other names we can think of. Nathaniel, for example, which means gift or he gives or God has given. I think parents ought to consider more carefully how they name their children. That the names of their children would imply and indicate the very character that they're seeking to bring out. Now someone might ask, what in the world does Langston mean? Well, I looked it up one time. And Langston is English, which means from the long hill. Whatever character that implies. Probably a character, all right. We ought to consider giving names that imply character, and that is what the name of God is. When Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he does not merely mean the name itself, the term that we call him, but the name is a substitute for the character, for God himself. To hallow it. To hallow is not like the little boy who in praying every Sunday morning the Lord's Prayer had the wrong idea about God's name. His parents walked by his bedroom one time and heard their little son on his knees and his hands folded, propped up against his bed, praying, "Dear Harold." To hallow means to sanctify or to make holy. Now, you and I cannot make holy, make God any holier than he is. But when we think of hallowing God's name and the holiness of God, I think of Isaiah chapter 6, where the prophet Isaiah had a vision of God. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And it stood, above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew." Listen to this. "One cried out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" You see, when we pray the prayer of our Father, the Paternoster, the first confession that we make, the first petition that we make is, "Hallowed, holy is thy name." How do we make God's name holy? That's a good question. Practically, day by day, how do we hallow God's name? Do we read the Bible? Do we pray? Do we obey God? Do we take God's name in vain? Do we abuse the Lord's day and use it for our own selves and our own pleasure instead of the glory of God? Do we walk in fellowship with God day by day? And do we live in harmony with our husbands and our wives? Do we seek God's glory? Do we hallow his name? When I was in seminary, I had a friend who was from Egypt. He was a Muslim. And he didn't have a place to live. He was fresh off the boat, and we became friends, and we would do things together. And one time, I was in his room at seminary, and it was time for him to pray. Without any question, he spread his little carpet on the floor, and he faced Mecca, and he began to pray. And he went through that ritual 5 times a day because he hallowed the name of Allah. What about you and me? Do we hallow the name of God once a day? Twice? 5 times. I said this is our biggest prayer because it implies what prayer is not. It is not self-directed toward me, but it is a prayer that above all God's name would be hallowed, but it is also our fullest prayer. To hallow God's name means we will give thanks for the goodness of God in creation. It is an attempt to see everything in the light of the gift of God, of the goodness of God, whether it is beauty or whether it is brains or whether sex or whether sports ability or whether music talent. Everything, friends, is from God. And it is only as we receive those things as gifts from God that we hallow his name. Students, as you sit down to study, whether you are junior high or college, Do you acknowledge that your mind comes from God? And do you commit the study time and commit your day to God? Lord, bless this. Help me to glorify you with what I'm doing. It is your fullest prayer. Everything is to be received with thankfulness, but it is also our fullest prayer because to hallow God's name means that we receive with gratitude the greatness of redemption. Let me tell you something that will surprise you. When Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name," he is teaching us, firstly, a prayer of repentance. Have you ever noticed that there isn't a clear statement of repentance until you get down to verse 12? But the very opening is in itself a prayer for God's forgiveness, because to hallow God is to put God forward and to put yourself somewhere else. It reminds us when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," it reminds us of the holiness of God, and it reminds us that we are lost because we're not holy and we're not good and we're not hallowed. But hallowed be thy name. It points to the wisdom of the cross of Jesus Christ, where we may receive, according to Paul's words in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." To confess the hallowedness of God's name is to confess that your salvation is all of grace and that you have done nothing. To hallow God's name is a call upon God Himself that He would be justified in His salvation and in His judgment, and that His name would be hallowed throughout the community, your neighborhood. As you sit down to pray, do you pray for your neighbors? Do you pray that as you drive by their houses and see them cutting their lawns on Sunday morning, that God's name would be hallowed? Not to take vengeance upon them, but that God's name would be hallowed by those people. Do you pray that God's name would be hallowed as a blanket of prayer is spread over Gadsden, Alabama, that the name of God would be hallowed in this place? To hallow means that we accept everything as coming from the very hand of God. In Romans 8:28, Paul once again says that all things work together for good to those who love God. If we are to hallow God's name, it means that no matter what happens, listen to me, no matter what happens in our lives, whether seemingly bad or obviously good, it is from God's hand, and we are to hallow God's name. We are to say, "God, you are justified. You are holy and you are good in whatever you have done," and not complain and gripe and murmur against everything that happens to us. We are to hallow God's name. But there is another aspect of this prayer. I say that it is your biggest prayer, it is your fullest prayer, but it is also your hardest prayer. This prayer is the hardest prayer because it is against yourself. There is no other prayer, and it is interesting to note, it strikes me as so obvious that there is nothing in the Lord's Prayer that has anything to do with God sanctifying me. There is nothing here that says that we come to God and we say, Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me sanctified. Lord, hallow me. The reason is this. When you pray that God's name would be hallowed, it is a prayer both against yourself as well as for yourself. Suppose you were in a dark cave for most of your life, and the only light that you would ever have to see by and then you could only see vaguely, or the only heat that you ever had was this fire that you could build occasionally and warm your hands by, and you lived in this darkness most of your life. But one day you were released from the darkness and you walked out of the cave and you felt the sun upon your face and it warmed your flesh and you could see everything clearly. To pray, hallowed be thy name, is like coming out of the darkness of a cave into the light. It means that you and I no longer have to concentrate on ourselves, that we try to be good, that we try to sanctify ourselves, that the Christian life depends upon us, but it doesn't depend upon us, it depends upon God. We are like the man in a dark cave, and we use artificial means to try to warm ourselves and to see clearly. That is our lives when we concentrate on ourselves and we think of ourselves. But when we pray God's prayer, the Lord's prayer, hallowed be thy name, we have forgotten ourselves. We have said that my life, the effectiveness of my Christian life, does not depend upon me, upon my effort, upon my puny attempts to walk in holiness to God, but the Christian life, we might as well tell the sun, sun, shine, sun, warm me, as to tell God, sanctify me. Because it is just as natural for the sun to shine and to warm us and to provide light as it is God in His holiness to give to us the ability to live in godliness and holiness. So you see, your Christian life must begin and be carried on and end not with yourself. You do not begin the prayer, nor do you begin your Christian life with yourself. You begin it, and you continue it, and you end it, seeking God's glory. You say to Him, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For when we pray this prayer, it is like walking into the sun. It is saying, I am walking out of the cave, and my feeble attempts to live for myself. That is why I say this prayer is against you and against me. For when you pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we're saying, God, you be justified, but it is also for you. Because it is only by living a life that hallows God's name that you find the holiness, the warmth, and the vision to live for Him. When you take your eyes off God and you begin to live for yourself, you have returned to the darkness, the fatherless darkness of self. We have a way of not hallowing or honoring God, and that way is we often think that if we do what God wants us to do, we won't be happy. We think that if we obey God and we surrender to Him and say, God, Your will be done, that God is going to do something to us, make us missionaries in New Guinea or wherever, and we won't like what God has for us. But the prayer that Jesus taught us, hallowed be thy name, is a prayer of submission to God, where it says, God, I want your name to be hallowed. But amazingly, that is the very prayer that is also a prayer that benefits you. Because when you hallow God's name in your life, you sense the warmth of His presence, the fellowship that God gives to you. Don't live for yourself. Live for the glory of God, and you will be surprised that your needs and desires are met in the process. Dear friends, for whom are you living this morning? When you prayed the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, did you mean it? Did you mean to say, God, your glory is what I want and not my own, and my name can be buried in the dust, that God's glory would be enhanced? Some of you couldn't pray that, perhaps because either you're not surrendered to Him and are really trying to live for yourself, but some of you can't pray it because you're not yet a child, a son, a daughter. As Jesus taught us first to pray, Our Father, are you His son, His child? You can become His child as John indicates and God promises in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. What about you? Are you a child of God? Can you pray Our Father and mean it? Let's pray.